Ask you to turn again in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We've come to the very end of that chapter, last three verses. Matthew 14 and verse 34 will be our beginning of reading, right down through verse 36. Once again, invite your attention to this portion of God's holy, inspired, and infallible Word. Verse 34. When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Amen. Again, we look for God's blessing upon that public reading of his word, and let us again seek the Lord's face together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we have sat here under this portion of Scripture in its reading. And Lord, as we have read earlier this morning, we desire not the natural man's view, but that which has been enlightened by the Spirit of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, that we might know of this holy portion, this holy Christ, this holy gospel. O God, we pray, leave us not to that which we are naturally, without grace, without regeneration, without the working of the Holy Ghost upon our souls. But, O God, overlooking for Jesus' sake all of our sins, all those things that would grieve Thee at Thy heart. O, give us sorrow for them and turning from them, Lord, but give us Christ Jesus and His sweet influences by His Spirit that He has sent. How we need Him. We are like newborn babes, Lord. Help us to put away our sins that we may desire this sincere milk of the Word to grow thereby. Lord, we desire to give Thee the praise for it, for Christ's sake. Amen. We have seen the disciples and Jesus this last portion before ours on the sea. Disciples in that great tempest and the storm, and Jesus walking to them. They all then are in the boat, and now they come to the land. And what a night they had passed together and passed separately. Jesus in the mountain praying, them on the sea sailing in that great and horrible storm. Everything was contrary and rocking the boat. Yet, what amazing displays of God's grace, God's power, the divinity of the Son of God, not only in walking across the sea, enabling Peter by faith to also do the same, and catching him, and coming into the boat, and the sea then became calm. And now they are at the land. And so as we accompany them now on that land, when they come to it here, we find that Jesus, wherever He goes, He never ceases to go about doing good. And so we find it here. And so I want to just point out to you three things from this portion we have read just a minute ago. The first one is this, that we have the place of Jesus' landing in verse 34. The place where Jesus came to, where the boat docked, if you will, and they were getting out. And when they came, or excuse me, when they were gone over, that is the sea, they came into the land of Gennesaret. They came into this land. And the land itself, the means, the valley of branches. It's about 3 miles long on the coast, and it's about a mile and a half wide. And it's supposed to have yielded walnuts, palms, figs, olives, and grapes. So a very fruitful little area that they came to. One cultivated, one that was used to provide these good fruits and products. But also this land, this area, has some history to it. Some history to it. It seems that in that general area, it is the place where the woman with the issue of blood was healed. You have that back in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 20 and following. You remember the story. She was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. She came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." But Jesus turned about him, and when he had saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. It is thought that this is in the same area, generally speaking, that Christ came to. So there's this, it's a fruitful land, it's a nice land, the valley of branches, if you will, and all these fruits, but it's also a land that has a previous spiritual history, a previous working of God history, of Jesus' visitation and display there of some of His great and mighty power among those people. So secondly, though, not only we have the land that they came to, but we have the program that was pursued by these people when He did land. So what did these people do? What did these men do? What kind of process did these men set about or program when they saw Jesus? Well, verse 35 tells us, "And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased." We'll just stop at that point. I want to look at some of the rest of that in the next point of our sermon. But the first thing to notice of this program is that they had knowledge of Jesus. It's when the men realized that Jesus was there, that's when things begin to happen. When the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they recognized Him. They saw, this is the Son of God that was here before. That's one reason we pointed out that previous history. There was a woman healed by touching the hem of His garment. This same man, the same one, this same Jesus is here again. What did they do? Well, this knowledge gave some credit to His divinity, as we have said. They expected great things. They at least could remember back and say, He healed this one where the woman had spent all her living on doctors, and the physicians just weren't able to help her, to heal her. And yet she touched barely, she came into contact with this man and was healed immediately. Surely, He being here again, this can happen again. This one is our solution. This one is our Savior. This one is come to bless us as He did that dear woman. Mr. Dixon says of the knowledge of Christ, he says, people have a right knowledge of Christ when they know His power and grace and give Him employment, as these men did. Not only do they know it, yes, they realized He was there. They had knowledge of Him. But they didn't say, well, that's great. Let's go over here and think about this and talk about it a little bit and, you know, discuss it. Well, no, what did they do? They started sending out and bringing in. They actually gave Him employment. They were going to make use of that great prophet while He was there. Because when they had that knowledge of Christ, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased. All that were diseased. Mark chapter 6, the parallel passage to this one, in the end of that chapter, like it is in ours here, says, verse 53, when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him and ran through that whole region round about, this is verse 55, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they had heard He was. They even went and got beds and brought them. They did what they could to bring others to this one whom they knew. They knew who He was. They knew what He did. They knew what His claims were. They knew some of His divine power. And it excited them. Perhaps these men were believers. They believed something of Christ. They knew He could help. They didn't know. They were not ashamed to go out and just spread this around and bring in all that they could move. I mean, obviously we're sure that some wouldn't come. The Pharisees and Sadducees and the Herodians and the scribes and the lawyers, you know, those mostly would think these men were addled in the brain and following a fanatic and some made up fable to think this is worth doing. But many came. Many came. Many believed these men and were carried or came on themselves, their own selves. So perhaps based upon their own experience of saving grace, of being healed, they knew that Jesus could heal others. What He had done for them, very likely, gave them that love, that impetus, to see that can do for my neighbor, my friend, my co-worker. They need to come to Jesus. They need Him who alone can do their souls good. All the country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased. You know, Matthew Henry said of that, there's no better way to show love to our country or our neighborhood than by propagating the knowledge of Christ in it. At least by our example, to try to draw others to it. To the knowledge of Christ. Yes, we should get them to church if we can. We'll have to have a pack of pews Sunday. But, you know, in a way, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It has the idea behind it of going out round about and seeing what we can do to move folks to come. Not because, you know, if you sit in a pew in a church, you're not going to be saved by coming into that pew. We all know that. But why would you come there? Well, because if it's a gospel preaching church, Christ says, well, I'm there in the midst. The prophet is there. One commentator said, it's better to know that there's a prophet among us, that there is a prophet among us, than that there has been, like in Ezekiel. The judgments, the offers of mercy that are refused, and then all of a sudden, judgment comes, and we thought, you know, we never responded. We never came. We never took up God's offers of grace and mercy. And now it's too late. Because the judgments have fallen. Bring folks as you're able to where Christ promises to be. Again, it's Him. It is not to a certain, you know, walnut tree that they brought these folks. You don't know where Christ was at. We're going to see that in Mark that He progressed through all these villages. They brought Him, or brought them to Him. And brethren, if we bring people, we need to pray that Christ will meet them. Not that the preacher will meet them, that's fine. Or the other Christians, that's fine. That is usually the means. But we need the means to be the means that brings them to Jesus Christ Himself. So this is the program these men pursued. They begin to send out, to make the word known. This man's here. And to bring them in. Even carrying some, of course, on beds that were really bad off. That were diseased. And that's the actual, you know, if you want to, a literal rendering of that word diseased. All that were having it bad. That's kind of the idea. All that were having it bad. All that were diseased. All that were sick. They brought them. Let's continue on then. Not only this program is pursued by the people, but we also have, thirdly, the power of Jesus among the people. The power of Jesus among the people. They brought them all in. I'm just going to read again from Mark chapter 6, verse 56, the last one of that chapter. And whithersoever He entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought Him, they might touch, if it were put, the border of His garment. And as many as touched Him were made whole. So Jesus moved about in all the different places in Gennesaret. The villages, the cities, and the country. And they laid all the sick there. That they might but touch the hem of His garment. Again, these wonderful physical healings is an amazing thing. They were made perfectly whole. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, that very hour, she felt in herself, I'm healed. After she touched the hem of His garment. These things were based upon prayer. You notice what these men were doing, really kind of continuing their approach, their program. Verse 36 opens, and besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. They prayed. And it's the idea, they were continually beseeching Him, Lord, let these folks, let us, if they were, but these folks touch the hem of Thy garment. They approached Him. They besought Him, they prayed, they asked, and they received, didn't they? Prayer brought down these blessings as much as sending out the word and bringing folks in to the Savior. You'd be much in prayer, beseeching the Lord, wrestling with Him. We often think, and we should, of Jacob. There with the angel by the river Jabbok, wrestling with God upon his own promises to give him the blessing. And what did he say? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Things that had promised him. He didn't make up things. Jacob did. But he had those Abrahamic promises and blessings. We take the word and plead it with God to Christ, through Christ, for these folks that come to Jesus, come to his presence. This healing was based upon their prayer. It's also, I think, based upon Christ's acquiescence of the means of contact with him. In other words, the way in which they were to connect with him or to lay hold upon him. Notice it says that not only did they beseech him, but this is the request, that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And you know, some commentators think that this was a superstitious thing. A couple of different ones said that. People thought, let me just back up and say, the Jews had a couple garments. The longer one was the undergarment. In other words, the one first. And the outer garment, they call it, was one that was probably a little bit below the waist. And that's the one that had the fringes on it. Or the tassels, as we see in Numbers and other places. And that's probably the one that they're trying to touch. The one with the tassels, the hem there. And so some think that was a little superstitious. But I think, it's better to see it as others say, that it was humble. They didn't think that they were worthy of him to stop every diseased person, every sick one, and pay special attention. They believed that if we could get in contact with Jesus, as the woman, caused because of her faith in him and touching that edge of his garment, virtue or power or efficacy to go out of Christ to heal her. They took the same approach. As some have noted, the experiences of others coming to Christ and finding him and finding his healing, sometimes a good thing for us to follow when they have shown the blessing of salvation by applying to Christ. I say that Christ seems to have approved of this because they besought him to do it. They asked him, please let us just touch the hem, the edge of your garment. And what does the text say? And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So he seems to have approved of that. Brother, we don't have Jesus in person today. But we have his word. We have his word. Come to that in just a second. This will say, we heard when we were down in Greenville, we got to see some old friends and hadn't seen in a while. And was asking him about his life. He did not grow up a Christian. Neither one of them did. It's an older couple. Not too old. Watch what I say. And just, he was in Vietnam. Gave up on life. He was married and all that. But just all kinds of just foolishness and the vanity of everything. And toured the country when he got back with his wife and the little son that she had and while he was gone in the military. And he got back and he lived beside of a Baptist family who loved them. And he said, Joel, we partied, bad. Just liquor everywhere, just out of control, all the time. The Baptists never said anything to him. They loved him. These Christian people invited him over and things. And one day they're overeating at their house, and they had where this brother was sitting, for he was our brother in the Lord, but He was sitting there, and they had the Bible open to Romans 10. Just sitting there beside him, and he's just talking around, and he happened to glance down, and he saw one of the verses. You know, that whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. I thought, oh. And he kept talking. And he saw another verse later. I think it's the other one he saw was, the Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Well, they went home, and he went to bed, and he knew he was a sinner. He knew he lived completely opposite of God and cared nothing about him. But he said something like this before he went to sleep. Lord, if it is possible, have mercy upon my soul. He said when he woke up, he was a new man. He was a new man. These people did what they could to bring this man to Christ, to his word. And he just called out. As it were, touched the hem of his garment. And he's made perfectly whole. He didn't need AA. For him, it's all gone. All liquor, just none. That was his God in many different aspects, I think. But it was gone. Christ was his King. Christ was his Savior. He had the joy of the Lord. What is it to touch then that hem of the garment, as we said, is to go through his word? Matthew Henry says this about touching the hem of his garment. When we mix faith with the word, apply it to ourselves, depend upon it, and submit to its influences and commands, then we touch the hem of Christ's garment. Mixing faith with the word, applying it to ourselves, depending upon it, submitting to its influences and commands, then we touch the hem of Christ's garment. That's why Peter could say, give more earnest heed to that word, the written scriptures. There's Christ. There he is. There's the edge of his garment. There's the hem. Brethren, again, I'll just remind you of Matthew chapter 9, where the man that was lame, you know, came to Jesus with help of others, of course. Sick of the palsy, the paralysis, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, chapter 9, verse 2, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Of course, everybody gasped. This man, who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. What is he saying, so to speak? And he says in verse 6, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. These healings, yes, are a grace and a mercy in themselves, but they are really a testimony to Him being the divine Son of God, able to forgive sins. That's why we try to always apply these things to the disease, to us who have it bad, sinfully, of the soul, in sin, in iniquity, in trouble. We try to apply these things to us as sinners. Not simply as those who may have a physical disease. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Not to heal every disease that's presented to him. Paul presented his disease 3 times. Christ said no. Paul, who had the gift of healing himself, did not heal, could not heal, apparently, some of his own dear friends. He left Trophimus sick in a certain city. Yet he had healed others. But it shows the divine power, the divine authority to forgive sins. And notice again that these folks were made perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. To save through, if you will, is the literal idea. Or a word for salvation. But it's a compounded, it's a save through, or thoroughly, or completely. That's why you have that made perfectly whole. What a blessing for these folks. Just touching the hem according to the means that at this point Christ approved of. What is bothering you and I in our souls? Justification is perfect at its very act. Perfectly righteous in His sight. I know that we all profess Christ here. And I trust it is true. But even if all of us to the very last one is saved, how often we need to know more perfectly, more thoroughly, the value of Christ's righteousness for us. When we came to Him, when we touched the hem by believing that promise, and saying, I can take that promise of faith in Him, or by faith in Him, to have righteousness, to have forgiveness of sins. It happened immediately. Just like in my friend's case. In every one of us' case that has believed on Him. You're made perfectly whole. Cannot be unjustified. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. That's us. If we're in Christ, if we have united to Him by faith, come into contact Him, we've touched the hem of His garment, if you will, made perfectly whole. And He continues then, that righteous standing is one thing. Complete. Done. Gloriously to be rejoiced in. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Psalm 32. Romans 4. And because of that, because it all comes from our Lord Jesus, made one with Him by faith, we also have that sanctification. All those sinful diseases and habits and lusts and pride and idolatry and covetousness and on down the list, hatefulness, He is subduing. He is healing. He is bringing less and less of its power in our lives, and bringing more and more of the power of His own salvation. Brethren, it is by getting hold of Jesus in His appointed manner. It is by coming to Him. It is by believing His promise. That is how we get a hold of Jesus. That is how we get clear of our sin, both judicially and practically. And practically. There's no other way. These men knew it. They brought all they could to Jesus. And those that touched Him, perhaps many did, perhaps all of them did, in these cities and villages. We don't know. But it says, all, or as many as touched, were made perfectly whole. It's possible there's some in that great line of folks that were in presence of Jesus, but did not receive healing because they never touched Him. You know, it's, let me just say this too, it does suggest to me, like the woman in the press, the crowd in Matthew's gospel earlier that was healed. Many touched Jesus that day. The apostles, on one account, rebuke Christ, basically saying, you know, you want to know who touched you. Turn around and stop. Who touched me? When you're in the middle of a crowd and they're all pressing around you. But what did she touch with? It's faith. She believed that he had the power. She believed that he had virtue in himself for her. And she could just make contact with him. Brother, he has that for you and me. However strong the sin is, the blackness is, the degradation, the grip of an evil habit, the stain of some iniquity, there's perfect healing. There's perfect and sure cleansing and deliverance in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that came to undo the bands of Satan, to take away the lust of the flesh and of the mind, to transfer us from the kingdom of Satan into that of his dear Son. He is able. As the hymn says, doubt no more. He is willing. He is willing. Well, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask Thee that we all would make sure we have come to Jesus, knowing, believing His promise of eternal life. That whosoever comes to Him, He will not cast out. If we come to Him, O God, our sins will be forgiven. Our persons will be justified. And He will begin that work of sanctification in us, which we will perfect until that last day. Oh Lord, what a Savior. Lord, and thrill our hearts again. Lord, we see these men of that place of Gennesaret so overtaken with a knowledge of Christ, what He had done aforetime, the miracles He had wrought, the good He had done, the sermons He had preached, that they felt duty-bound gladly to bring in others. Lord, help us, we pray. Impel us to do the same. May we find an example there. Lord, give us strength, we pray, to apply to Him ourselves and to point others. Lord, Thou knowest our weakness. Thou knowest, Lord, the needs we have and a fear of man that we often do. And Lord, even just the lack of joy we have in Christ. Oh Lord, forgive us, but restore us. Lord, He is altogether our Savior. Lord, revive our souls, we ask. Make salvation precious to us. Lord, as some have said, put the amazing back into grace. Lord, in our soul, that we may say again as we thought earlier with David, bless the Lord, O my soul. We pray in His precious name. Amen.